Remember, every pharmacist needs to be a little L leader on their shift or in their practice. While each person's career evolves in a different way, what you'll find as a baseline is them making and seizing opportunities. By way of introduction, Steve Allen received his pharmacy degree from the University of Rhode Island, an MS in pharmacy from the University of Maryland, and completed a residency at the University of Maryland Hospital. Steve's career has entailed leadership positions as an assistant director and director at Children's National Medical Center, Kaiser, Suburban, and Owen Healthcare Cardinal Health Management, and he is currently Executive Vice President and Chief Executive Officer, ASHP Research and Education Foundation. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Sarah.
Since you've held leadership positions your entire career, let's begin by you discussing your definition of pharmacy leadership and what attracted you to such positions.
Well, there's so many definitions of leadership, but from my perspective, pharmacy leadership is about exerting influence to elevate and advance the profession. And I was very fortunate at an early age to know that I wanted to be a leader in pharmacy practice. And so in my final year of pharmacy school, I stayed focused on a career path that would allow me to become a leader in pharmacy practice.
So what attracted you, though, to leadership? How did you know you wanted to be a leader?
Well, I had opportunities early in my life in high school, being a captain of a sports team, in college, being president of a fraternity. And it was fun to me to be able to work with people together, all different types of people, all different personalities, all different motivations, and to pull them together in a common way for good. And so I had some success, and I knew that I could work well with people, and I felt that as a pharmacist, I wanted to do the same, working with pharmacists and other members of the healthcare team.
Why did you decide to do a residency?
Yeah. Well, a residency was a great opportunity for me to take the knowledge that I had through my pharmacy educational process and learn how to apply that. And you think you know what you need to do as a pharmacist, but in a residency, you really learn the nuts and bolts of how to work with other pharmacists, how to work with pharmacy technicians, how to interact with nurses and physicians. And you really get focused on what are we doing to improve patient care and to optimize the best use of medications. So it was a very focused program that was a two-year program in focused on administrative practice. So I learned to lead and I learned to work effectively with others, and it was just a great, great opportunity for me.
Why does ASHP have a separate foundation?
Well, you know, that's due to the wisdom and the insight of Dr. Otis as the CEO of ASHP in the middle 60s and the board of directors. And at that point in time, they wanted to create a foundation to become the research arm of ASHP and to be able to conduct research and support the development of clinical pharmacy in the hospital setting. And so the foundation started on a journey in 1968, and we're approaching our 45th anniversary. And that foundation probably had three distinct periods. Maybe the first 15 years was about building capacity and raising funds to be able to do the work that it envisioned. And the second 15 years was really about developing programs and beginning to support the development and evolution of clinical pharmacy practice. And that was done in collaboration with ASHP through a conference called New Directions for Clinical Practice, also known as the Hilton Head Conference. And that led the foundation on a series of activities, including the creation of fellowships to help develop pharmacist skills as researchers and clinicians, and helping to advance the profession of pharmacy technicians. That was key towards building clinical practice. And then the last 15 years has been about maturation, and I think we can talk about some of those programs that the foundation's involved in now.
Please describe the magnitude of the foundation at this point in time, number of programs, number of staff, budget.
Well, the number of programs at the foundation has grown quite a bit in the last number of years. When I came to the foundation, we had about a dozen programs, and now we have about 35 programs. And our program activity is in four distinct areas. First and foremost, in the research arena, and our focus in research is developing new investigators and supporting the role of the pharmacist in evidence-based medicine. And then we have a number of educational programs. We stay focused on unique educational activities that ASHP is not involved in. We have a number of awards programs that highlight the contributions of pharmacists. And then lastly, in the last 7 years, we've developed a host of programs in leadership development.
So what's your budget magnitude, approximately?
Relatively small. We're a small foundation. Our net assets are about $10 million, and our annual budget is about $4.2 million. So we raise money to put on the programs that we offer, and we do have an endowment in honor of Dr. Otis that represents about half of our net assets, and the principal stays untouched, and we spend from the money that we earn in the endowment that's well invested.
So how many staff work for you?
We have a small staff, a staff of nine. There's myself, and then three professionals, a vice president who oversees most of our programs, research, education, and awards, and then an individual who heads up our Center for Health System Pharmacy Leadership, Dick Walling.
Over the past 5 to 6 years, the foundation has established a leadership center and developed a number of leadership programs. Why do so, and why is it in the foundation and not in ASHP?
Great questions. Perhaps I'll begin with why did we establish a Center for Health System Pharmacy Leadership? And it was some of the work that you did in the 2004-2005 time period where you were concerned about there being a leadership crisis in our profession. And your publication in 2005 helped ASHP and the Foundation Board of Directors come together to determine what could both organizations do. And a task force was created, and it was determined by that task force consisting of pharmacist leaders, CEOs, COOs of health systems, that indeed we needed to devote energy and resources to developing leaders in hospital and health system pharmacy practice. So that was sort of the trigger for the creation of the center. The center's work, first and foremost, was to ensure that we were able to help develop leaders to lead the pharmacy enterprise. And while there are a host of capable individuals in practice across the country, there was a period of time where hospitals were retrenching and a number of middle management positions in pharmacy were eliminated. And so we wanted to be sure that there were practitioners who could be effective in leading the pharmacy enterprise when those who were leading retired from practice.
It's impressive that close to 400 pharmacists have completed the Pharmacy Leadership Academy. Let's describe that and what's unique about it.
Well, what's unique about the program is perhaps the strength of the curriculum. And we were fortunate in the foundation to link up with Sharon Enright, who serves as the course master for that program. And that task force that I referred to that suggested that we create a Center for Health System Pharmacy Leadership, they put together the nine core areas that they felt were effective for pharmacists in leading the pharmacy enterprise. So it's the curriculum that helps define the program, and it is geared towards helping pharmacists know how to lead and how to transform practice.
So what's the structure? Do people have to travel? Are there meetings they have to go to? How does it function?
Well, it's a web-based program, and we structured it that way because we wanted people to be able to engage fully, and we wanted people from all over the country and even the world to be able to learn and focus on their leadership development skills. And so the web approach to online learning was used, and we've amassed and garnered faculty from all over the country, key leaders in hospital and health system pharmacy practice, who really are energized and bring to life the curriculum. So it's really a life-changing program, and to hear those who've been through the Pharmacy Leadership Academy is direct evidence of the value of the program.
So how long is the program?
It's a one-year program. There are 7 modules of each of 6 weeks duration, highly interactive. The curriculum includes a number of key current readings in the profession and outside the profession related to leadership. And the interaction that the enrollees have with the faculty is key, but also the interaction that they have with one another.
So they're learning from each other in addition to.
Correct.
And I think at the recent meeting you had some people talk about the PLA. Do you have some high points of what they brought out, the value to them?
I think the thing that was most notable was that term life-changing. And the individuals who spoke, 3 different individuals, came from different areas of practice. One from a rural hospital in Idaho. And this was a pharmacist who had very little leadership experience. And she talked about her journey and to the point now where she's been able to advance pharmacy practice and establish herself as a leader in the health system. And the others had similar stories, but it was hearing about how the confidence that they built helped them really feel comfortable in their role and continue to be able to advance pharmacy practice and lead others in really making a difference at the patient care level.
There are over 100 PLA graduates now pursuing master's degrees using their PLA credit, with about 20 having completed them. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's somewhat new.
Well, when we established the center and developed the curriculum for the Pharmacy Leadership Academy, we invested time into communicating with pharmacists who were looking to grow and advance in their careers. And we asked in a survey process whether pharmacists felt that a certain credential should be needed to be a director of pharmacy, a chief pharmacy officer. And the answer that we got from those who participated in the survey was that an advanced degree was probably the best way to expand their education and ultimately their influence in the health system. So individuals suggested a master's in business, a master's in public health, a master's in healthcare administration. And so we've been able to link the Pharmacy Leadership Academy curriculum. We've been able to work with universities to secure credit towards graduate education for the Pharmacy Leadership Academy, and that's been key.
So some graduate credit is awarded for completing the Pharmacy Leadership Academy?
Correct, and each college university that we're affiliated with determines how much credit goes towards the graduate degree program.
Okay. The LRC, the Leadership Resource Center, has been developed and implemented. Talk a little bit about that and where can you find it, how can you access it?
Well, our board of directors wanted us to be thorough in terms of providing a variety of leadership development program opportunities for pharmacists. And one of the things that evolved was to have an online ready reference on leadership. And so again, working with some key individuals, Sharon Enright, yourself, we created an online resource for pharmacists focused on leadership, and it has three components. One is a self-assessment tool. So a way to measure your effectiveness as a leader and to also identify those areas where you might want to grow and expand. So that's a key component. The other is a leadership development primer. What do effective leaders do? And a whole host of information in that module on becoming an effective leader and building your strengths and talents as a leader. And then the third component is a toolbox, a toolkit, so to speak. What are some of the tools that leaders use in leading groups and teams of people? So how do you do a SWOT analysis? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, nominal group technique, and a host of other tools that leaders use.
So how can somebody find the LRC?
Well, pretty easily in today's day and age. A very easy way would be to go to ASHP's website or the Foundation's website, and in the search box type in leadership, and you will be able to get right to the LRC or the Leadership Resource Center. You can Google it you can ultimately get there. But we've tried to make access to the programming that we have very easy in terms of any pharmacist, any ASHP member. You do not need to be an ASHP member to draw upon the resources that the ASHP Foundation offers.
Is it such that it will continue to be added to with topics?
Absolutely. We have a commitment. We've been fortunate to have a corporation, Baxter Healthcare, that has supported us in this endeavor. And they have a commitment to work with our profession and our foundation to make that website an ongoing, readily updated reference. So yes, indeed, we are committed as an organization. The foundation's board of directors and our partner is also committed.
So now that there's a leadership community, what programs are available as ongoing leadership development?
Well, one of the things that we've tried to do is to have a continuum of programs for pharmacists, from the student pharmacist to the mature established pharmacist. And so while time doesn't permit me to talk about each of those programs, we have three different programs for students: the Student Leadership Speakers Bureau, we have a Student Leadership Awards program, we have a Visiting Leaders program for pharmacy residents and new practitioners, where we bring established leaders to those sites and allow them to interact and engage residents and new practitioners about being an effective leader. And then we've talked about the Pharmacy Leadership Academy, we talked about the Leadership Resource Center, and we have a Pharmacy Leadership Institute, which is perhaps the top of the programming for those who are established leaders, and it's a week-long executive management program on site at the Boston University campus.
And I think I've seen some webinars beginning to be advertised that will be ongoing for folks.
Correct, yes, thank you. One of the things that we want to do is engage pharmacists and constantly communicate to them the importance of leadership as a professional obligation. In fact, there's an ASHP statement on leadership as a professional obligation. So what we are planning, and our first webinar program this September in a series that we're calling The Leader's Edge, is geared to focus on key topics and issues facing pharmacist leaders. And so, for example, pharmacy as a business within the health system is the focus for the September webinar. And we can bring in 1,000 participants in that webinar in an interactive format and engage a couple of key leaders who've been successful with those in the profession who are perhaps dealing with issues and challenges in that way.
And so over time, there will be additional webinars available?
Correct. We're going to offer this program on a quarterly basis, and it will hopefully feed in nicely with our Pharmacy Leadership Academy and helping individuals learn about the programming opportunities that are available. We even have a shorter series called the Leaders Innovation Master's Series, which is 2 6-week online interactive programs that help individuals who are looking to build their leadership skills.
And then is there some planning underway for some short self-learnings?
Yes. We're in development right now with trying to develop a curriculum of 6 core courses in leadership skills building. And we're looking to work on the development phase of that now and roll that out in 2014. So I think what you're hearing from me is that there's a full commitment from the ASHP Foundation and its partner, ASHP, in terms of developing leadership programming for pharmacists at all levels.
The Pharmacy Forecast is a new program. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'd love to. The Pharmacy Forecast Report is the brainchild of Dave Zills, who many people know and who is considered to be a visionary in pharmacy practice. And Dave has challenged folks like me and yourself to look at what is happening in healthcare. What are the trends that are important for pharmacists to know and to understand as they plan to lead their pharmacy organizations? So we determined in working with Dave and Bill Zellmer, who helped Dave conceptualize what we could do, was to go out and look at forecasting data that's available from a number of sources, like the American Hospital Association, the American College of Healthcare Executives. And so we pulled the existing forecast data and then used a crowdsourcing technique with pharmacists to identify, of these trends that are emerging in healthcare, which ones are likely to have the most impact on how we lead our pharmacy departments. And so the Pharmacy Forecast Report focuses on 8 domains that were identified through this crowdsourcing methodology. And then we have anywhere from 1 to 3 individuals who've done a summary on that and posed questions to the group. And we have feedback on what the profession believes these trends mean. And then we provide some recommendations for how you can plan to advance pharmacy practice and to consider the issues.
So the Pharmacy Forecast is a PDF that can be located on the Foundation's website?
Correct. It's an open access report available in electronic form that you can download from the ASHP Foundation website. There are also some hard copies if you're one of those individuals who likes to get a report and put your hands on it that are available through the Foundation.
And the next edition is underway, I'm aware, since I've been asked to help with one of those chapters.
Correct. We launched the Pharmacy Forecast Report just last December, so December 2012. And we had such a positive reaction from it that we determined that there would be value in updating the report on an annual basis. And so there's a commitment from the ASHP Foundation and the Board of Directors and ASHP to work together to update that report on an annual basis.
The leadership programs are only part of what the Foundation does. What are some other significant programs, do you feel?
So the other areas are research, education, awards, and the development of practice tools. Those would be the other major categories. And I think I mentioned a little earlier that our focus from a research standpoint really falls into 2 areas: helping to develop new investigators in pharmacy research and practice. So clinical practice researchers is where our focus is. And then also our focus is in research that will help provide evidence to showcase the important role of the pharmacist in direct patient care. And we're just thrilled to most recently, within the last 45 days, award our largest ever grant, in this case to the University of Florida, a research team there that is helping us to develop and test a complexity index tool, i.e., which patients are in most need of the patient care services of a pharmacist. So that is key research that we feel is going to help our practice leaders optimize the contributions of pharmacists in patient care on both an inpatient and an ambulatory transition of care approach.
I hear about traineeships. What are those about?
You know, I mentioned that the ASHP Foundation has tried to direct its educational program activities in areas where ASHP is not already committed. And so back in the late 80s, the concept of a traineeship program was developed by the foundation, and it's a combined self-study experiential program in key areas of practice. And the first traineeship program was in anticoagulation drug therapy management. And that program has been offered for more than 20 years. There's more than 500 individuals who've been through that program. And they're so committed that they meet annually every Saturday prior to the beginning of the mid-year clinical meeting. So these are individuals who've advanced their knowledge through self-study and then gone to a site with an established clinical pharmacist experienced in anticoagulation, antithrombotic pharmacotherapy. And we offer traineeship programs in a number of areas like critical care, oncology, and pain management. And these are good options for pharmacists who've not had the opportunity to do a PGY2 residency program in an area like oncology or critical care.
Let's have a candid discussion about where the foundation's funding comes from, because the old adage, no money, no mission.
Yeah, that is a challenge for the ASHP Foundation and for any foundation associated with a professional organization or even a very worthy social cause. We need the support of individuals who have a passion for our vision and mission. We need individuals who can recognize and see the value of our work and be willing to support us. So we are fortunate that as our program capacity has increased and expanded, that our work is becoming more visible. And so we are seeing more and more pharmacists support the work of the foundation, but clearly there is a need for us to convey to practicing pharmacists the need for support of the foundation's work in order for us to do more to help drive advancement in the profession.
And because of the tax status, if I contribute, I can take that as a contribution off of my taxes, correct?
Indeed. The foundation exists solely for the purposes of advancing research and for scientific and educational purposes. So we do not represent any pharmacist per se. And because of that, our status with the Internal Revenue Service enables anybody who supports our work to have a tax-deductible contribution.
So as the executive, who's your boss?
Well, I work for a group of people, and indeed my boss is the board of directors of the ASHP Foundation. And this is a 12-member group. There is a chair, so technically my boss is the chair of the ASHP Foundation Board of Directors. And their responsibility is to oversee the organization from a strategic planning standpoint and from a financial and legal standpoint. And they hire me to execute on the strategic plan, to hire a great team of 8 individuals to do the work of the foundation. So it's a real collaborative approach. The board is enthusiastic. They want to see us grow the work of the organization, and they help us in communicating with the corporate world in terms of promoting the value of our work and with pharmacists as a whole. So it's a collaborative approach, and I'm really, really pleased to work with such a great group of motivated leaders on the board of directors.
Are all of those members of the board pharmacists?
No, indeed, they're not. Some are, and these are pharmacist leaders who still lead in practice or who may be successful business leaders in the pharmaceutical and related healthcare industry, and some are not pharmacists. And you know, the mix of perspectives, the varied passions that come to the table with the board members is really the key towards having a group that can help us advance the work of the foundation.
I would like to switch gears now, and with regard to career planning, when you finished your residency, was your current position on your radar screen?
Probably not at that time. What I can say is that I was committed towards being a leader in hospital and health system pharmacy. And so I was really, really fortunate coming out of my residency program at the age of almost 25 years old to become an assistant director at a tertiary care children's hospital in Washington, D.C. So I served in that capacity for 4 years and became director. So I knew that I wanted to lead in an environment like that. And I had the opportunity to stay in one organization for 17 years. And then when I made a move elsewhere, I looked to go to other aspects of or other organizations in hospital and health system pharmacy. So my involvement in professional organizations was key. As well. I was committed towards helping to drive practice through organizational work, and I think the combination of being an involved ASHP member and also being in the pediatric pharmacy advocacy group helped position me to be considered as a candidate and ultimately to become the executive for the ASHP Foundation.
What career advice do you give young people these days?
Follow your passion and be committed to your profession and be a leader. Your patients need you to be a leader, and the profession needs you to embrace the profession fully and to help drive advancement in pharmacy practice.
So if you're faced with the decision like you were to go to the foundation, you really didn't have background in that. Is that something you should worry about? You don't understand what the position totally is?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that the key is to understand yourself, know that if you want to succeed, that you can devote the energy and the work to going to a new level. And when you're given an opportunity like that, in this case for me, to work with other leaders in health system pharmacy practice, the key is to, you know, to marshal your personal resources and talents and to work with others to really catapult the profession in this case.
What's the best mentoring advice you've ever gotten?
You know, I'm not sure that I could identify one moment where one of my mentors said, you know, Steve, you should do this. But what I would say is that from the three or four key people who served as mentors in my career, it would be invest in people. Invest in the people that you work with from a professional standpoint and from a personal standpoint. So know what it is that the people who you're working with want to do in their career and support them. Support them in their development, in their role in the pharmacy organization that you're working in. Understand what they value personally. make sure that they have balance in their life, and be willing to say to them that I don't expect you to work with me forever, that your professional and personal development is key, and that I'm here to help you be successful professionally, hopefully working together for some time, but ultimately wherever you want to go.
And I know you mentor a number of people. What makes a good mentoring relationship?
I think, you know, relying on what I just said, it's an investment in a relationship, and it's a commitment to excellence. It's a commitment to excellence in our profession, understanding what our talents and skills are, building on them, encouraging, motivating, talking, laughing. It's about enjoying what you do and overcoming challenges that come your way. So, you know, I think it's really all about understanding how to be successful and helping one another in, I'd say, seeking excellence, maybe more so than being successful, because being excellent in what you do leads to success.
So how does somebody find a good mentor?
Well, in some cases, you might say it would be happenstance, but not really. It's modeling. It's about being associated with a professional who you, if you're a student, you might be doing a rotation with them. If you go into a residency program, it might be the residency program preceptor, or it could be an individual practitioner who's precepting a particular rotation that you're in. Or, in my case, in my first job that I went to, the individual who took a chance on me as a young practitioner and who helped develop me in my role as an assistant director. So there's many, many ways in which you can find a mentor, and it really is ultimately about making a connection professionally and a connection personally.
So that personal chemistry is kind of important, right?
Indeed. I think that for many of us, relationships develop in a variety of ways. And so I have mentors from people I have mentors that would consist of people whom I've worked for. I have mentors who are colleagues and who've given me a unique insight and perspective into practice and how I look at the world. So I would say that it's a very personal decision, but it's all about connection, and it's all about being focused on giving your best and being a good pharmacist and a good role model.
Life always seems to provide us with some challenges, such as when you lost your director job. Talk a little bit about how people can handle, both intellectually and emotionally, losing your job.
Yeah. I'm a believer, I'm a man of faith, and I believe that everything happens for a reason. And when you face a challenge, my organization was going through difficult financial times, and I was involved in leading re-engineering teams, working with consultants, and we knew that there was going to be a downsizing in the management structure. So when I got the news that it was delivered that we're going to do away with the director of pharmacy position, I realized that this was not personal. This was about an organization working its way through a difficult period. And I would say that my faith and my confidence in my abilities as a practitioner and my abilities as a dedicated worker and passionate individual pharmacist was what I was going to rely on. And indeed I did. And I just moved along and found another great opportunity.
So does having a professional network come in handy at a time like that?
Absolutely. When I left in those circumstances, the whole physician community came around, pharmacist friends and colleagues. I had so many opportunities. So yes, indeed, a network of colleagues and professionals is key. It's key to helping you when you're in a position, and if you find yourself out of a position and looking for another one, it's just as important.
So landing on your feet is really key.
Yeah, you get a bloody nose and you get up and you move on. It's resilience that we need to demonstrate, and we need to be confident and comfortable and perhaps maybe a term that I think you would agree with, we can't whine. We've got to get on and continue on our journey of excellence.
So as you think back over your career, what's brought you the most satisfaction?
Perhaps the most satisfying thing for me in my career is working together in an organization and seeing the fruits of our labor, and seeing, for example, the pharmacy department evolve. And for me, in most of the positions that I've been in, I've been fortunate to have a residency program. And I think I'm energized by working with young people and helping to develop them and having them challenge me and motivate me. And I think that's the piece that I miss most about being in the kind of position that I'm in now. So when students and residents come to ASHP and the foundation, I really chomp at the bit to interact with them and engage with them.
What's the one thing you wish you had done differently along the way?
You know, as I reflect on my career, I would say that there really isn't any one thing that I would want to change. We all make mistakes. We all handle situations that you can look back and say, boy, I probably could have done that a little better. But I think the key is to learn from your experiences. And so when I look at my career, I can't say that there was anything that I regret. I think that it was important to me, and I think it's important to anyone else to build on your experiences and to learn from them and grow.
What impact do you hope your career is having?
Well, at this point in my career, I hope the impact is large from the standpoint of the foundation's work. Not anything that I do personally, but as we talked about, working with the board of directors, working with a talented staff to provide more opportunities for pharmacists to showcase their skills and abilities and talents, to work collaboratively with other health professions to advance the role of the pharmacist in the team, because we know we don't own the medication use process. So I think my hope for the future rests in a lot of the program efforts and the results from the programs that we've talked about that come through the foundation.
So I think you've sort of answered this, but what's your hope for the foundation of the future?
Yeah, well, I would hope that more and more people who are practicing health system pharmacists will see the value of our work and will support that. And I'm beginning to see some of those signs, and I hope that that will continue. I hope that our work with other foundations and other corporations will be seen as a model for effectiveness, and that will garner the support of corporate leaders and foundations and businesses that see the value in our work. So I think it would be building on the record of accomplishment and being able to do more to help patients through the leadership of pharmacists working in teams.
So if you put your practice hat back on, what do you think is going to change in the next 5 to 10 years that practitioners need to be aware of and be planning and doing now?
Well, I'm one of those people who believe it's a critical time for our profession, and that we have to be bold. We have to demonstrate that our role in direct patient care is vital. And so I believe that the Pharmacy Practice Model Initiative, the leadership development programming that we're so committed to, is vital towards helping pharmacists step forward, lead on the organizational, institutional level, collaborate with physicians, collaborate with health system executives, nurses, other healthcare practitioners in that team approach, because we know that the healthcare system needs greater efficiency. We know that we need to lower costs, and there's just so many opportunities to reduce the kinds of complications that can come about from less than effective, less than optimal use of medications by patients.
Why don't you talk a little bit about what the PPMI is, what it entails, how did it come about, where we are currently with it?
So PPMI, Pharmacy Practice Model Initiative, was an initiative that really was identified by practice leaders in the ASHP community. And there were pharmacists in a couple of the sections, one of the councils, that said to the ASHP and ASHP Foundation leaders, we really need to look at how we practice, and we need to elevate the level of practice across this nation, because if we don't, we're going to be at risk. So the Practice Model Initiative is it's pretty vast in terms of what we hope to be able to accomplish. There's a devoted microsite that defines the initiative, which is really about optimizing the talents of our profession and doing that in a variety of ways, relying on technology, relying on the effective use of pharmacy technicians, developing the leadership skills of pharmacists, and looking at the credentialing and the ways of working more effectively in the healthcare team. So I think it's imperative that we as a profession come behind advancing practice, and this initiative provides a host of resources for individuals to figure out how to do that at their organizational level.
And I think there's a self-assessment available.
Indeed, there is. There were recommendations that came from a summit. The summit in 2010, November of 2010, yielded a series of recommendations for how to effectively advance practice. And we developed, ASHP and the Foundation working collaboratively, developed a hospital self-assessment where you can look at your health system and your pharmacy practice, evaluate it, rate it, and determine where you need to improve. And the tool provides recommendations and references for how you might go about that, how you might prioritize your next steps.
When you were in practice, you spent a significant amount of time in pediatric hospital, children's hospitals. What's unique about practicing there?
I feel so fortunate to have had my first opportunity as a practicing pharmacist and leader to be in the pediatric environment. It made me a better pharmacist. We had neonates there, less than 2 pounds, and you needed to know how drugs worked in the body in immature organ systems. And so right from the get-go, I believe that I became a better practicing clinical pharmacist. And then as a leader in the pediatric environment, nobody likes to see an ill child. And so the teamwork approach was, the team was receptive. And while when I got to Children's Hospital in 1978, pharmacists were in the basement, by the middle 80s we had a residency program, pharmacists were on teams, and so it was uplifting. So I'm not sure that, you could say that pediatrics is totally unique, but clearly some of the factors that I mentioned make it an environment ripe for teamwork, collaboration, and the application of the talents and knowledge and skills of pharmacists.
When I began practice, a diagnosis for leukemia for a child was serious. That's not so today. We provide so much more therapeutics.
Yeah, and I think that the pediatric patient and the challenges, there's so little, a bit of clinical studies and work that's done on the use of medications in that patient population. It's really one of the areas where the pharmacist's contributions are so needed and so valuable.
This has been great, Steve. We really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah.